I want to preach today. I thought about the drama that we put on here and about how glorious it is and how wonderful it is and how the Lord uses it and how so many folk are blessed by it. Like this thing did as a doorknob. Then I thought about there's dramas in other respects of life. And there's a drama of human struggle. And I don't know of a better picture of that than the life of Job. Now, in studying about Job, I guess it's the oldest book in the Bible. Most scholars say that they're pretty sure that it is. But this period of suffering of Job covers approximately a period of 1 year. Now, all that happened to Job happened within a one-year period. Now, I don't think we have many folk today could still stand within a year's time what Job stood. And I want to talk today from this one verse. There's several verses, and I had a time of choosing just which verse to take a text from and base my thoughts on, but I chose verse 22 of chapter 1, which is the very last verse of that chapter. And it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Many folk get bitter at God and begin to blame God for their problems and charge him foolishly. But if anybody had any right to be bitter, Job did. The story of Job, as I said, is a perfect picture of human struggle. And I'm preaching today on the drama of human struggle, how we struggle. Why people struggle and suffer is a question that's people's been asking ever since the Garden of Eden. God could prevent a lot of things, but he don't. But God does things right. Amen. He doesn't make mistakes. Amen. Romans 8:28 is still in the book, and sometime we have to almost wear that out. Amen. When the problems of life come. But you ever think about when a baby chicken is being born? Have you ever seen one born, and how that shell cracks and how that little wet dibby is laying there and how awful it looks and how it begins to move and how it begins to struggle and how it begins to come into life? That's a struggle for that baby chicken to be born and begin to live. And then I think about a butterfly and how it comes out of the thing that we used to call a caterpillar, kind of a worm-like, and all the struggle that that butterfly has to get into this life. And then a baby being born. Now, what that baby goes through being born and what that mother goes through while that baby's trying to get into this world and get born into this world, going through the birth canal, is a struggle for that child. And then the first thing that it happens to it when it gets into this world is a big old hand of a doctor whaps it. Wow! And the first thing the little fella does is has to cry when he gets here. What a struggle of this getting into this world. You see, what I'm saying is life begins with a struggle. But you see, this struggle doesn't stop at birth. It continues from the cradle to the grave. Amen. Life is a struggle. Problems of all kind we're faced with every day. Many of them we don't know how to deal with. And when we try to handle them, we make a mess of them. We need to get saved and turn them over to God. Let God handle them. I know you've heard that, and that's almost a broke record. But in all of this struggling to get into this world, let me tell you something. Through the struggles that I've just mentioned, the hurt comes the birth. And how joyous that is when that baby gets in, begin to smile and coo. better things and good things always comes from a hurt and a struggle of this life. Testing begins to all strong Christians and all strong people. We begin to get tested. When the winds of adversities and winds of persecution begin to blow on our lives, you know what the old palm tree does down on the beach? When the storms come up and begin to blow and the winds are strong, and those old palm trees bend way over from the winds, they just put their roots a little deeper in the ground. And they don't complain, they don't run away, and they don't tuck their head, and they don't feel sorry for themselves. They'll say, bless God, I better put my roots a little deeper. There'll be another storm after this one. This is not the last one, and when they straighten up. But I'm glad that when the storms are over, the old palm tree straightens back up. And the real Christian of this life, when the struggle's over and when the valley's been experienced through, when all the heartaches are over, they'll still stand. That's what happened to Job. Many folks have experienced such trouble. They know that through prayer, God always delivers. I know that. Some other folks know that. Many folks have experienced this. When old Abraham says, the Lord will provide. Nobody denies that. They remember how it happened with Isaac, his son. When old Daniel says, the Lord will deliver you. When you're in trouble and struggling through life, nobody argues with that. They know how he came out of the fiery furnace. They remember the story. When the Hebrew children say, we're out of the lion's den. And when the Hebrew children begin to say, God cares for his own. Everybody can holler amen to that. God does care what concerns us. When old Paul and Silas say, you don't have to stay in jail if you know how to pray. We can all shout glory to God. We know that's so. You see, there's other folks. When the evidence is at hand, we can't deny the fact. What God does for others, he'll do for us. He has no respect to person. And the struggling of life makes us strong many times. Now, the story of Job, as I've already said, is one of the greatest examples of the struggles of life that I've ever read. Very briefly, I want to mention just a few of them. Some tests that he had, some struggles in life that he had. He had some things. Number one, the test of prosperity. That's a big one. That is a big one. Job was rich. Most people have trouble with this. There's a good many of you people sitting right here. If you was to inherit $1 million tomorrow, I doubt seriously we'd ever see you back at Peace Church. I've seen folk get saved, be very humble, but God bless them to get an automobile. You know what they do on Sunday? Ride to the mountains. That's right. I've seen God bless people that's supposed to be real dedicated, that shout the victory with a beautiful wife. You hardly ever see them in church anymore. That rascal gets lazy as a devil and treats that woman like a dog and won't go to church, and God's trying to bless them. There's some folks just cannot stand a lot of this. Now, Job was considered the greatest man in that part of the country when I read about him. But he stayed humble with all of his famous that it was to him. Very few can do that. When wealth comes, when we begin to get our debts paid and everything's going good, you know what we want to do? Want to take a vacation. Want to spend every weekend down at the beach. Got plenty of money. Rent a motel. Get an airplane. Fly around. Do everything. Forget God. Forget the church. Job didn't do that. Amen. Job was a rich man. And he was tested with the wealth of this world. But it didn't faze him. He still stayed true to God. I read, when I was preparing this story, I looked through some books I had. And I thought I remembered this story. Some things stick with you, you know. You don't ever forget them. They impress you. There was a fellow by the name of Hart Danks. And he wrote a great song, and that song was entitled, Silver Threads Among the Gold. And his biographer said that it was a masterpiece. And He dedicated it to his wife. And because of it being so famous and a masterpiece, it began to sell. And money from the royalty of it just rolled in. That family experienced money that supplied their need and paid their bills, and they had luxuries that they had never had before. And do you know what? Dissension followed that money and that wealth. The story said that it wasn't long after that, this quick, easy money caused that man and woman to separate. And he died without his wife, and there was a note in his hand, the story said, that when he died. And that note said, "It's so hard to die alone, so lonely, without that person that you love." And there he lay. Then after the money began to continue to roll into his wife, her and her children got into a great fight over the wealth. And they wouldn't speak to one another. And she finally died in a little log cabin. And that song and that wealth that most people strive for all of their life brought dissension, hatred, unhappiness to the hearts of that family. Now you'll have to agree with me, they'd have been better off a pauper with joy in their heart and contention. There's some folks don't have any compassion. You need to pray about that. The Bible said in the last days, parents will turn against children and children will turn against parents. If you're here and you're in that category, don't let that happen to you. Camp out on their doorstep. Hug their neck and shed tears and say, "This is not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be a part of that." But this happens to people today. This money brought grief to this family of heart dank. Separation. No compassion, no love, no concern. Just greedy after the money. This didn't happen to Job. Job wouldn't let it do it. I was talking to a businessman a few weeks ago, and he told me how his wife's brother had conned him out of $40,000+ in a fake business deal. And said, "We got part of it back," and he come back and wanted more and conned us out of some more, another $20,000. I said, "Well, it looked to me like that's your wife's brother." "Yes," and she said, "Well, I believe we ought to let him have it." And he said, "It was all of my savings." And he said, "I don't have a dime of it." And I said, "It looks like that would cause trouble between you and your wife." He said, "I'm not going to let it do it." He said, "I love her. And money is not going to come between me and her." Thank God for people like that. There's a verse of scripture I want you to turn. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Have you found it? "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet it after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." There's what money does. Doesn't that back up what I said about when if people got inherited something tomorrow, where would it be next Sunday? Where would it be Wednesday night? This has caused a lot of trouble. But thank God this didn't affect old Job. All of his wealth was secondary to him. And he overcame the test of wealthy prosperity. Then he had a test of sorrow. Job lost all of his children. As I read the book of Job, I know that he was a father, somewhat like Doris is a mother. Love and compassion as I've never seen before in my life. Real dedication to the family. That's not so with every mother. That's not so with every father. Real affectionate and considerate. This loss of his children was the greatest loss of all, because he was so dedicated as a father toward his family. He lost his prosperity. He lost his children. And here he sits now. Did you know I have seen some of this in my life? I've preached in states up and down this country for years now. I've been with pastors. I've experienced things. I've experienced things in my own pastorate. But most things I've experienced like this is in other states with other preachers. I've seen 5 children lost at one time. In revival up and down the country, I've seen some terrible things. In the eastern part of North Carolina, up the other side of Kinston, I remember very well when I got there, the pastor said to me, "Brother Johnny, we've got a very sad thing to do tomorrow. The family, what's left, and the doctor has asked me to do it. I want you to go with me." And we went to the intensive care and stood at the bed of a father and a husband. And he had just come out of a coma. He had been there 3 or 4 days in a coma. And that pastor's duty was to go there at the bedside and tell that dear man that he buried his wife and 5 children yesterday. Can you imagine how that man felt? What a loss. How his heart ached. How he wept. How he sobbed. What an awful job to do. I often think about doctors and what their responsibility is and how bad it is to come out of that operating room, pull down their mask, go in the waiting room, bow their head and say, "I'm sorry. We did all we could." It's a terrible thing to lose people like Job lost his. These 5 children, and their mom and dad was in a pickup truck, and the 5 children was on a flatbedded trailer coming out of a tobacco field, stopped at a store service station and got a drink, got back on and pulled out in front of a tractor trailer truck, traveling at a high rate of speed, throwed that man out in the field, killed all 5 young'uns, put his wife in intensive care. She died that night, and that man was still in there and finally come conscious and had to receive news like this. Listen, folks, when there's 6 caskets in your home at the same time, when there's 6 of your family laying dead at the same time, that's a great loss. Oh, I don't know if we could stand that or not. I remember another time I was with a pastor when he had to go tell the parents that was on the job working that 2 little children had burned to death in the home in a fire. Brother and sister, both of them dead, the only children they had. I'll never forget how they wept and how they screamed and how they got out and how they hollered, "Oh God, have mercy." Mayor in North Carolina, Brother R.J. Reynolds, at a meeting, got a call to the motel one morning. He came by and got me, carried me over to a home. There under the carport, I saw about a 15 or 16-year-old girl laying there on the carport, blood running out of her head, her eyes blaring open in death. She had got out under the carport, started to school, took her own life, took a gun, put up and blowed her brains out, and lay there. And I saw that mother and that dad weep and cry and pray and how their heart broke. This is a great loss. But Job lost more than that. A lot of folks would get bitter at God. Did you know, according to the book of Job, there was 10 caskets in his home at one time? Now, do you remember I told you all of this happened to Job in just a period of 1 year? According to tradition, 10 many caskets in one man's home at one time. This was a real test of sorrow. Do you remember how the devil says, "Oh," said, "I'm more powerful than you, God. But I'll guarantee you I'll make them lay down their Bible. I'll guarantee you anybody I can make them quit." God said with joy in his soul, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the world." Thank God for the Jobs that still left in this world today. We got a Job laying up yonder in the hospital. I walk in there and look at that body and I say, thank God for people like Katie Morrow. That'll fight the battle, don't never quit, no matter what comes. Thank God for Jobs. These things make us strong. I believe old Job could sing with the old darkey. Nobody knows the trouble I've had. Nobody knows but Jesus. Now let's look at the physical affliction that he overcame as he dramatized human struggle of this life. Did you know the Bible teaches that Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet? Can you imagine you ever had a boil? When I was a little boy, I don't know why I haven't had any in years, but when I was a little boy, I used to have them things all the time. And they used to put old poultices on them and smut and lard and anything they could get and wrap them up and draw them to a head and how good it would feel when them things would bust and the pulse would run. But I had them things on me and oh, how miserable it was. And I just, my little feeble mind can't comprehend how it is for a man to be covered his entire body. The Bible said from the top of the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Did you know that's all in your face? You know that's all in your ears, under your arm? That's everywhere. All between your fingers is balls. You can't move without being in misery. And can't even touch. People can't touch you. You can't move around. I don't see how he stood it. He overcome it. He stood there and he looked up and he said, "I know out yonder somewhere you are." He said, "God, even though they slay me, still I'll trust you." And he, with all of his money gone, all of his children dead and buried now. Here he lay on a little bed. Nobody left but his wife. The Bible tells me that Job left his house when he had these boils all over and moved out of the house into a pile of ashes. Got down in ashes and took a piece of pottery and scraped the corruption off of them boils and sores and the corruption run. He'd sling it off into ashes. He'd reach up here on his face and scrape the corruption out of the boils, cross his brow, under his arm, scraping the corruption. His children buried the day before. All of his money and all the pleasure that he had enjoyed with the wealth that he had. Look at him laying out there in the ashes now where they had took out ashes and dumped them in the yard. And here lay God's servant and the devil standing back laughing at him. And God standing looking down over the banisters of heaven with tears in his eyes saying, "Job, I turned you over to him. Don't you let me down." Job said, "Lord, don't you worry. I love you better than anything in this world. I'll fight the battle. I'll stand the test." And he did. Laying out there suffering like he was suffering, he never complained. He suffered quietly. He didn't bellyache and growl. Hey, some of you folks, bless God, every time you have a bellyache, you'll call and get everybody out of this church. I got where I take that thing off the hook. Somebody gets a ingrowing toenail at home. "Oh, call over to church. My wife and my husband go there." And here they'll come running in and out. And people go into hell. And they distract the service. Shame on you. Look at Job. He never complained. And somebody will get arthritis and go to the hospital and they, all their family will sit up there with them and stare at them like a fool. Job sat there and what gets me when you go to see these people that's so bad off, man, they sitting up drinking a Coca-Cola, eating a candy bar, watching the ball game. You know what I tell folks? I didn't know you was a nurse. I didn't know you was a doctor.
When did you get your license? Man, listen, Jesus is the first and foremost thing in our lives. Now, I'm not being fanatic, and I'm not, if a person's real bad off, I think you ought to be there. But if they're up there just for some little old flimsy something that's going to be all right in a few days, you need to say, well, I'm going to church. Goodbye, honey. I'll see you at church. Go on to the house of God. Job laid and suffered, and nobody came around him. Every time I go see Katie Marr, I'm reminded of Job. Did you know she's never one time complained? She'd smile and complain. I watched her up there the other day when she was conscious. And this thing that hangs down that you pull yourself up on. And I watched her get that thing, and she was trying to hook it up there. It looked like it, she just wasn't going to make it, and it was a touching that thing. And she kept getting higher and higher and a grunting and a straining. And somebody went over and said, let me do it. No, get away. She said, I won't do it. She is determined to do it. You know, bless God, she finally rung the thing. She finally hit it up there. There's somebody would have laid down there and said, put that up there for me. And you ain't near as bad off as she was. Man, listen, we need to learn how to endure affliction. How to endure suffering. Old Job laid out there and committed his way to the Lord. God always promises grace and promises help when the time comes. He promised to never put more on us than we can carry. The crosses got heavier and heavier as they piled on old Job's back. The valleys got deeper and deeper as old Job walked through them. But he overcome the test of physical affliction in this drama of human struggle. Then finally the betrayal of his wife came. I never understood that. When this world's been cruel, you men listen to me. I see some of you fellas sometimes look like you feel kind of like I do. I don't know, you feel bad. Got some kind of bad problem. I don't know what it is. But you're down in the dumps. At least we can go home when the problems of life bog us down. And there we can find some sympathy and some understanding from a Christian wife. If you can't find it anywhere else in the world, you can find it there. If you can't find it there, you're not going to find it anywhere. After a day's misunderstanding, a time of pressure, you can find it from your wife. But now for Job, this was gone. There's no telling how many times she had encouraged him. But look at her now. I guess this was about the bitterest test of all for Job. I don't know. But I kind of believe that Mrs. Job had enjoyed the wealth and the popularity of her husband, and now that was gone. Now the children was gone. Now his health was gone. And so many women, when their husbands get like that, they begin to seek out a divorce to get out and hunt another. I talked to a man, a preacher's brother, where I was in a revival, and we went to the nursing home to see his brother, and he was paralyzed, and the boy was 43 or 4 years old, had 2 children. And I said, is your wife still come to see you? He said he'd been there several years. He said, no, she divorced me 2 years later. It happened. He said, she didn't want me no more. Said she got a divorce, and now she's fixing to marry another man. I said, how can you do that if it's real love? See, the marriage vow is for better or for worse. The marriage vow is when the rough comes and when the good comes, you still hang in there. You still fight the battle. Evidently, Job's wife forgot that, but she thought about all the wealth, all the popularity that her husband had. Now this was just too much for her. She had never been used to this. She had been used to having her picture on the social page of the local paper, being on television and down in the big clubs that the ladies have, you know, the garden clubs and the social events. Ms. Job was been something. Her influence had been something in the social life. But now her name never appeared anymore. Job had lost everything he had. That was more than Ms. Job could stand. She said, there's other men out there that's got popularity. It's got influence. It's got money. I'm silly to hang in here. Then she goes to old Job. She got bitter at God. She got mad. at a time when Job needed her the worst he'd ever needed her. She turned her back, walked away. Did you know I believe that her words had teeth in them? I believe the words that she spoke cut like a knife. I believe those words stung like an adder. When she went to that man laying down there like he was, and she said to him as she stared at him with a hard look, "Curse God and die!" She said, "Job, you're a fool. Look at this God you've served all these years. The way you sacrificed, and him permit a thing like this to happen to you? Job, you're crazy. You'll either denounce Christianity, denounce God, or I'll walk away from you, curse him and die." But my text said, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Hallelujah, what a Christian. What a soldier. He is like a brick wall. The devil had his handfuls there, didn't he? God gave him that he needed. He didn't fight back. He laid there and smiled. I hear him cry, though, when I studied this story. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Old Job overcame doubt in human struggle. When you get down to a certain place in life and things ain't going right, the devil will make you doubt your salvation. Old Job began to do that. He must have felt like Jesus did on the cross when he asked, my God, why has thou forsaken me? You know God never forsaken his own son, but Jesus felt like he had. I believe that's exactly the way Job felt. Right here, laying out there after his wife had turned her back, he seen her walk out of sight and wouldn't even as much as give him comfort and consolation with his sores and his boils all over. The sorrows fell like rain. The troubles came like a swarm of bees. The crosses was piled upon his back. His valleys was deep. His path was filled with thorns. No doubt some of you right now are asking yourself this question. When we get in shapes like that, we get down like Job was, does Jesus really care? Well, when I thought of that, when I was preparing this message and I asked myself that question, I said, I guess other folks, when I preach this, will ask the same thing. Then the Holy Spirit brought a song to my mind. And the song says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When our days are weary, and our long nights weary, Jesus, our Savior, cares. He does care. He loves you. The drama of human struggle. I know that Jesus cares. What are you confronted with today? What's your problem? Tells people around here when it looked like they're bogged down and discouraged and despondent, and I say, look, don't let your problems get bigger than your God. If Job hadn't have, as I preached, I saw the heart of a man, I believe it was last week, and if old Job hadn't have opened his heart to where Jesus could have pumped the grace in there and the strength in there, he'd have never overcome it. Open your heart for God to strengthen you and help you and lean on him. I don't care what your problem is. I'm acquainted with a God that's greater than all of your problems. Amen. Whatever it is, trust him for it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Maybe these musicians will get there right a while. Our Heavenly Father, we bow today to beg for help.
in a troubled world. All around us there's physical problems. There's spiritual problems. There's marital problems. There's financial problems. We're reminded of what Job said, a man is born into this world but a few days and full of troubles. But in all of this, Job sinned not, nor God charged God foolishly. Father, today here in this building, there's folks burdened down with problems, and they're gasping and fighting for better things of life. But all through the years and all of their efforts, they have failed to accept Christ as their Savior. They really can't expect things to get any better. Help them today to be the man that Job was. When his wife said, curse God and die, he said, you talk like a foolish woman. He said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yea, Lord, though you slay me, I'll still trust you. And when the skin worms devour this old body, yet in my flesh will I see God. I'll come forth as gold. What faith. Help people today to trust you with whatever problem they have in their life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.